God's Word, John, if you would, please. The book of John, the Gospel of John. John, if you would, please. Now, I just want to throw this out just in case we have a problem this morning. If you have a problem with the message, you can blame God. Because I got this message at 12:30 last night, or this morning, and I could not sleep after I got it. So it kept going through my mind. And so if you don't like it, talk to him. Because I was a little upset because I couldn't get back to sleep. It's kind of like having that song. Anybody ever get a song stuck in your mind? And then you get done, you get it out of your mind, and someone's over there going, row, row, row your boat, and you're starting all over. Amen. John chapter 14, and we're going to look at John 14. John 14, one verse. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for all your love for us. Guide and direct us. Help us to glorify your holy name in all we do and say, please, Lord, help me as I speak. Give me the words to say. May the passion of God come out. Not mine, but the Lord. May you speak through me. Use me as a vessel. Hide me behind the old rugged cross. May people see Jesus. Bless us now, but help us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I can say this now. I remember when I first came up here, I was 30 years of age, and I was going to fellowship meetings with preachers my age. And they used to look at me like, you young whippersnapper. I'm saying the same things I said back then, but now I'm older, so now they have to listen to me. So I have lived a long time. 66 years isn't ancient. My father-in-law was just here. He's 87. So that's old. If you're older than 87, you're older than old. Hey, I remember when I was 19, 30 was ancient. I didn't think I'd live past 30, but I was going to get married at 30, so it was true. But it has been very frustrating to me as a person to hear someone tell me they love me and leave very little evidence of the said statement. I can't stand people say that they love me and not show it. Amen? There's many believers, they wax eloquent of their undying love for their Savior, and often blast it from the mountaintops in songs and poetry with emphatic resonance of their utter affection of Jesus, yet very few actually possess true love for Christ. My title is Proof of Our Love. Proof of Our Love. Everybody here has heard the statement, there's proof in the pudding. I don't know, and I cannot without God's Word telling me, I can't tell you, because each and every one of us have a different understanding, or if you want, I hate using the word, but it's all in one I could come up with that now, interpretation of what it is to show your love for Christ. I am not going to listen to you, and I don't want you listening to me on what I think you ought to do to show that you love Jesus. What I'm going to do is read His words. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Okay, we're done. We can go home now. That should be that simple, shouldn't it? I mean, it should be that simple, and I'm going to have a very simple message, and it's going to be one of them that's got a lot of meat in it and a lot of sugar, so you're going to get the whole kit and caboodle this morning. But the first one we see here is a choice. So look at verse 14 again, the first word, if. Now, I don't know if you folks know this, but we serve a great God. And our great God is this. We serve a great God that doesn't go, you're going to love me, and you have no choice.
Amen.
Do you know our God, our Creator, could have made you that way? I build things. Some people make things. And you make it, and you make it for a certain purpose. Am I right? And it has no choice. It's an inanimate object. That broom is made to sweep. That drill is made to drill. One thing I don't like about computers, if all my tools were computers, I'd have no tools. Because I would have thrown them all away. Because as soon as I put that light switch and go like this, and there's no light coming out, either the switch or the light fixture is going down the tubes. I'm getting rid of it. Because it's not working. But computers, you turn them on and you go, okay. Amen. The other day we wanted to watch a show and it starts, and all of a sudden this movie goes. And I'm sitting there hitting, I'm an impatient movie watcher. I want to go upstairs in my collection and get my VHS and push that in there because the Blu-ray's not working. All I'm saying this, aren't you glad that God, number one, He gave us a free will. There's churches out there that believe that God set up in heaven and said, you're going to get saved, you're going to get saved, but you're going to hell. We don't have a mean God. Our God says this, I am going to provide the same thing for everybody to get saved. You need to believe in Him whom I have sent. I sent Jesus, my Son, to die on the cross. I birthed Him a body, gave Him a body so He could die. That body could die for your sins and for the sins of the whole world, not just the elect. Everybody has a choice. Do you want to get saved? The same thing right here. God didn't say, Elijah Grenot, you need to love me and I don't care what you say. No, He says, if. Gave you the choice. I want to love Jesus. How about you? So I have a choice though, if, a free will. I'm supposed to make the first move, even though it's really I'm making the second move, because the Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. But you know what? The Lord's sitting there going, I loved you. Okay, it's your turn. Come on, amen. Your first move is, I'm going to love you. You know what He says? When you love me, now you're my friends. If you keep my commandments, you're my friends. Chapter 15, verse 14. My friends do whatever I say to them to do. You're my friends now. I don't know about you. What a friend we have in Jesus. But I want to be His friend. I'm going to be His best friend. I'm His best friend. I don't mind that. Come on, amen. I don't mind being teacher's pet to Jesus. But it's an if. I have to make the first move. Not only is it free will, I have to make the first move. The Bible says that I am going to do, look, He says, all things work together for good for them who love God. I want things to work for good. Scaffold falls out from underneath me. I land on my chest. I do not die. That's supposed to be good. I'm looking at my wife. That's supposed to be good. You know what also happened with that fall? I have no more heartburn. I do not suggest that curative method. But my heartburn went away. I used to not be able to sleep at all because I had a pain in my sciatic nerve pain because I had a fall years ago and landed on some joists. I have the problem of falling, it sounds like. But after I had, I was over at Yakima doing some work and I asked Brother Jose Robinson's son to pull the truss that I was hanging on. I was cutting just a little bit. He pulled it a foot and pulled it off the wall. Right when I turned the saw on, so I rolled off that, landed on a 2x4 about that big. I had a 2x4 stain, a bruise on my back. The sciatic nerve was cured. I do not suggest that. But what I'm saying is, all things work together for good to those who what? Love God. So see, I made the first move. I love God. Then He decided, hey, I'm going to take care of you even when you get knocked off a scaffold. Even if, come on. God says, I'm going to make it work out. I want that to happen. But if I have to make the move, you have to make the move. Amen? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That's what Joshua said. Amen? He made the decision for the whole family. The kids are going, really? Mom's going, okay. Joshua said, 1 Kings, what did he say? How long halt ye between two opinions? Why are we sitting there going, hey, hold on a second, I love Jesus. Hold on a second, if you love him, you'll keep his commandments. Come on, amen? So you have to make the first move. I want to show him I love him by saying I'm going to keep his commandments. And so you have to do it. It's our choice, amen? But also, if you would please, Psalm, if you would please, the book of Psalm, I'm actually going to allude to Psalm chapter 1, the first Psalm. Blessed is the man, the Bible says in Psalm chapter 1, blessed is man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like the tree planted by the rivers of water, and bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which a wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. His law, I want to do his commandments. I want to be with God. Blessed is the man. Come on, amen. So not only is it a free will, it's first move, but it's formative. What it does to the man, what it does to the woman who says, I think I'm going to love Jesus, it changes you. It makes you a different person. You're not the same person you were before. One of the things that's messed up in modern Christianity is easy believism. Well, I believe in Jesus. Well, I go to church. Thousands of people go to church. That don't mean they're saved. Man, come on, amen. The devils believe and tremble. And we just believe. We should tremble too. We have gotten away from being afraid of God as believers. And that's sad. We ought to be afraid of God. And praise God that fear is he can do everything, but he loves me. And he forbears. Come on. I don't know about you. Brad works with a guy named Andrew. Led to the Lord. But Andrew is big. And if Brad hit me, I'd probably laugh. But if Andrew went, get out of my way, he'd probably knock me down. Yesterday he called me buddy. I said, it's pastor buddy to you, buddy. But hey, praise the Lord, he has respect for me. But that guy's big enough, he'd just do this. He could hurt me. You imagine what God could do if he just went, I think I want to spank that guy. He just thinks about it. Look what he did with just spoken word. Created the heavens and the earth. He could just say, I'm going to spank you. But it already hurt. But he loves us. Remember what he says in Matthew chapter 6? You cannot have two masters. Come on, you can't say I'm going to obey this person, but I'm going to obey that person. You can't say I love. Come on. Whom you love, you will serve. That's what he says. It's either mammon, this world, yourself, or God. So we see the first of all is a choice. Number two, look back at our passage of Scripture, if you would, please. Matthew chapter 14. Look down at verse 15 again. He says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Now, we're talking about loving, and so we don't need to go over that. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. But the second thing is a consecration. A consecration. In other words, I'm going to keep something. As a Matthew 14:15. My Bible says, in fact, let's turn there. Turn to chapter 7 of the book of Matthew. Matthew 7. Did I say Matthew? If I said Matthew, I'm sorry. John 14:15. But now we're in Matthew. So if you're in Matthew 15, just go to Matthew 17. Or 7. Matthew 7. I apologize for that. Matthew 7, if you would please. Matthew 7. Therefore, the Bible says, if you would please, in verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, the rocks, floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. All God's people said. Why? It was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. We need to understand, folks, we're going to have winds, we're going to have rains, we're going to have temptations, we're going to have problems, there's going to be difficulties in our lives. But if you love Jesus and keep His commandments, you're going to stand. You'll fall if not. Come on, amen? So we need to keep, to build your house, you keep it. And so there's some things that we should keep. First of all, we need to step up. You said, preacher, what are you talking about? Wherefore, as the Bible says this, that we, as Christians, should come out from among them and be ye separate. Yes. This world keeps other commandments. We joked about this the other day, and it's been a few weeks, but I thought it was funny. My wife and I pulling up to, we're on Lincoln Street, and we're going across from Front over to First, and we get to First, you got to stop, stoplight there. Traffic's going. This man standing over there, and he gets about halfway. He's over halfway in the lanes. He looks up, and it says stop. He turns around and goes back. My wife and I is cracking up. I said, that's the dumbest thing I ever seen in my life. But how many of us have seen somebody in a beautiful, perfect, gorgeous day in a car by themselves with a mask on? Well, why do people do that? Because they're following some commandments. They are. You could say stupid, but they're following somebody told them they have to do that. You might have been in PA lately and you got to do this in those streets. If I'm in the far left lane and there's nobody in the other two lanes, guess what I do? Straight as can be. And I hear people, that's against the law. Whose? A sheriff's not going to pull you over because you're being safe. You're driving safe speed. You're going straight. There's nobody there to hurt. The only one that's going to pull you over is a stater because they're revenue collectors. They're just after money. And they're trained that way. Brenda was talking to her dad. Said, yeah, they had to have a quota of 15 tickets a day. That was way back. It might have been more. I don't remember, but somewhere around there. But all I'm saying is a different command. We have to step out of that and say, I'm not going to listen to my family. I'm not even going to, quote, listen to my church. I'm not going to listen to my family, my church, my dad, my mom, my sisters. I'm not even going to listen to my pastor. I am going to listen to the Lord. He's going to guide me if you keep my commandments. We need to come out. We need to step up. And he says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. The world wants us to go a one way, but we need to say the world is wrong. Because if I'm going to show Jesus, if I'm going to go out and tell anybody I'm a Jesus' child, I'm a Jesus lover, to show that, I need to keep His commandments. Not the commandments of the world, not the commandments of my family, not the commandments of my traditional church. I hear a lot of people say, well, I've always been. I don't care if you've always been Independent Baptist. If what you're doing is wrong, you need to fix it. Come on, amen? And number two, we need to be steady. Look, if you would, please, at 1 Peter. 1 Peter, if you would, please. 1 Peter in chapter 5. 1 Peter, past Hebrews. If you get to John's, you're a little bit too far. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that you may be exalted, so that He may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. There's going to be people all the way from the time this day until the time you die or the Lord comes and takes you home through the rapture. There's going to be people that are going to try to pull you away from Jesus. trying to pull you away from His commandments, trying to convince you that I, Pastor Savage, Cornerstone Baptist Temple, is a cult. Because we want you to follow Jesus. You say, they ain't doing that. They're doing it all over this city. I was over there in Little John area knocking on a duplex, and the guy answered the door and says, I'm not supposed to talk. I introduced myself. My pastor said, don't talk to you. You're a cult. I says, did he tell you why I'm a cult? I want to know why. Because we go door knocking, because we pass out flyers, because we preach that there's only one way to heaven, that's through Jesus Christ. That makes me a cult? That I think if you love Jesus, you ought to keep His commandments? That makes me a cult? I don't know about you, that's not a definition of a cult. A cult is based on falsehood, not truth. But we hear it. And you're going to have it from now until you die. You're going to have someone trying to pull you away. Boys, you're going to have girls trying to lead you away from Jesus. Girls, you're going to follow after some wild boy that's going to pull you away from Jesus. Husbands and wives are going to have husbands and wives trying to pull them away from Jesus. Listen, you need to be concentrated, and say, uh-uh. Come on. Be sober. Be vigilant. I love Jesus. I love my wife. My wife is my best friend. I love my wife more than any. In fact, I'm going to tell you, my love for my wife makes your love about that small for you. I have very little love for everybody else more than my wife, but she's number two. Because when I get my phone, I push two sin because voicemail's number one. No, Jesus is number one in my life. Not Brenda Savage. There have been times in our marriage that she frustrated me, that pulled me away from the Lord for a bit, and I had to stop and go, hold on a second. Jesus is number one. We have to do it because why? If I'm going to love Him, I need to love Him. And I need to keep loving Him. We need to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? For we labor not in vain in the Lord. We're working in the Lord, for the Lord. We're not working for one another. Guys, you're supposed to love your wives. Why? As the Lord loved the church. Girls, you're supposed to submit to your husband as unto the Lord. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the Lord, and we need to understand that. So we see, first of all, if, the choice. Secondly, the concentration. Thirdly, if you would, please, back to our text. This is very important. This I told my wife, this is the one I hope everybody gets. If you didn't get anything else, it's okay. I hope you get this one. The Bible says in chapter 14 of the book of John, verse 15, if you love me, keep, here's the last one, my commandments. We need to be, I hate to use the word be, but we need to be committed, not committed as in crazy, but we need to be committed to what we're going to keep. Okay, how many of you, let's be honest, I praise the Lord, I got saved in 1973. In 1973, there was really only one Bible on the market that was called the Holy Word of God, and that was the King James 1611. We had other passages of scriptures. The Rhines was there. The ESAV was there. The Good News for America. Remember that one, that crazy one? We had all of those Bibles, but they were called paraphrases or versions. They only had one in the English language that was considered the Holy Word of God. And that was the King James. But we've had some things happening since 1973. In 1973, there was one being brought out. They brought in Catholics. They brought in Mormons. They brought in Jehovah's Witnesses. They brought in they brought in Assembly of God type people. They brought in Pentecostalists. They brought them all in, and they gave them a passage and say, "You're gonna translate Romans." Can you imagine a Catholic translating Romans? They would change some words, wouldn't you? Can you imagine a Jehovah's Witness translating the book of Titus? They would take our great God and Savior Jesus Christ and put a comma there. Yep. Which they did. Yep. It's all it is. That's all they did. And it made it two people instead of one. All it is change. What I'm trying to say is this: you better be committed to what you're going to say is the commandments. Come on, amen. Where's the list of commandments? What rules are we going to live by? Oh, we're going to live by the Baptist Book of Living? No, we should live by the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. Now, that's the book for me. Amen? We ought to, that is what we ought to be living by. But, oh, my lands, there's so many commandments. Come on, there's a law. I forgot to do this. I was going to do it, and I forgot to. I think there's 2,500. I can't remember how many laws written, the thou shalt, throughout the Old Testament. We have too many laws in America. We need to get rid of 60% of the government and 65 or 70% of the laws. Get rid of them. I like Israel. Every 50th year, they go, and they reset. We need to do that in America. And I wish today was the 50th year. Just reset. Get rid of all that garbage that's out there. Come on, amen. They still have all the books in alligator. Down in Florida that you cannot hook an alligator, tie your pet alligator to a fire hydrant. Why would that be even in the books? Are people still dumb enough to do that? That just don't make any sense. All I'm saying is this: there's a whole bunch of, we have the law. It's a whole bunch of the law. Come on. And we have the list. You find we not only have the law, we have the list. What do we call them? The Ten Commandments. And I hear people say, I try to live by the Ten Commandments. Well, I don't, because I'd fail fast. Come on, amen? You say, preacher, you don't follow the Ten Commandments? I follow Jesus. And Jesus doesn't break the Ten Commandments. So as long as I'm following Jesus, I'm okay. It's when I stop following Jesus, like I sometimes do, that I want to kill my neighbor. Dave Leeds isn't here, is he? No, no, we have a good relationship. We also get that loved one. You remember that loved one? There's only two commandments. Remember the guy came out, the lawyer came out and said, which is the greatest commandment? He goes, hear, O Israel, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Remember that? And the second is like unto the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Oh, we live in the love age. No more. That was in the 60s all the way up to about the 80s. Then we got to tolerance. Come on. And now we're in woke. And if you don't follow what they do, the most intolerant people are the ones that call for us that are normal for tolerance. You know what tolerance means? You're doing something wrong and I need to tolerate it. The actual fact that you want me to be tolerant means you're doing something wrong. To ask for tolerance means you're a stupid person doing something you shouldn't be doing. Am I right? But we got all this love. We got to preach everywhere. We just need to love one another. I get in difficulty sometimes. I don't with a relative of mine. I'm not going to mention my mother-in-law's name. But for years we got into difficulty. Well, she don't do it as much anymore. She did when she was younger. But someone would do something stupid and we'll both talk about it. We'll both get up and I said, man, they need to get right with God. She goes, but they just need our love. I want to go, shut up. I'm going to give them my love. You know, sometimes people need a swift kick. Come on, amen. Yeah, we need to love people. That's right. But one of the best loves is tell them they're doing something stupid. Help them out. Amen. You're doing something stupid. You've been around here long enough. Some of you have said that same thing. You idiot. But I've been there by your side to help you get right. That's what a pastor should do. Amen. But we got this love. Well, I'll just love the Lord, my God. Well, if you love me, let's go back to our text. Come on. Are you there? If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me. What's the Lord saying? Here's the last one. I'm almost done. Not only see the law, we use that law, that schoolmaster. I'm just going to keep the commandments. And we have churches around here preaching, you need to keep the commandments. You need to keep the commandments. And then you have people say, I just keep the Ten Commandments. And then you have people say, what you need to do is just love thy neighbor and God will be happy with you. That's not what Jesus said. If you love me, keep my commandments. In other words, Jesus is saying, follow me. Amen. Leadership. Last point, leadership. How am I going to go wrong being right next to Jesus all the time? How can I show greater love for someone by sticking with them? Come on, amen. Each and every one of us have had some bad things happen to us in our life. And some of you have fled Jesus when those things have happened. Can you say, oh me, anyways? You blame God for your problems. Well, the Bible says all things work together for good. For them who what? Of God and are called according to His purpose. I don't know about you, but I need the negative as well as the positive. There's some things in my life that I'm clinging to that the Lord has to rip out of my hands. Friends that I try to hang on to that aren't friends, that are pulling me away from God. Come on. Amen. Jobs that I wanted that the Lord said, nope. Property we wanted, the Lord said, uh-uh. And I got upset. And finally, I'd get to the point where I'd say, Lord, I told you I love you. I'm going to follow you. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know what that means? His word is near me, or I'm near His word. I was just thinking this morning, I'm reading through my Bible, I'm about almost three-fourths of the way through again this year. Every 2 months, I go through the Bible. For 30 years, every 2 months, I've gone through the Bible. Why do I do that? Because I want to be near Jesus. I want to be right there. I want to hear Him lead me. Come on, amen? I want Him to lead me. He tells Peter, he's about ready to leave, restores Peter at the shore of Tiberias. And Peter goes, what about John? He goes, what are you worried about John? If he were to stay alive until I come back, what is that to you? Follow me. Amen? Last verse and we'll close. Luke chapter 6. Say, preacher, I think I love Jesus. Well, do you keep His commandments? Yes, the Ten Commandments, the law, that's something to think about. But I think the best heart ought to be, I just want to be next to Jesus. I'll follow Him wherever He tells me to go. Verse 46 says, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Let us be of those who truly love our Savior. Let's not be hypocrites. There's enough hypocrites out there in the world. Amen? There's enough people out there calling themselves something when they're not. Come on, we've seen a lot of politicians look like idiots because they can't do what they say they can. Or they claim something they're not. Let's not be that way as believers. When we say we love Jesus, may we just say, I'm going to follow Him. I'm going to let Him lead me wherever He goes, even if it's through the valley of the shadow of death. Why? Thou art with me. Come on. So what he said. Well, I think what it is David should be saying, I'm with you. Because that's the biggest part. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the blessing of having a Bible in front of me in my language that I can read, learn, grow from. I have no idea the heart condition of anybody here. In fact, if I was truthful to say, I don't even know my own heart because it's desperately wicked. Who could know it? It's deceitful. So I do pray to the one that knows the hearts of men and ponders upon them. You know what everybody's feeling here today. You know what everybody's thinking. You know what everybody's going to do. I beg of you, Lord, that maybe today is the day that that person makes the decision to trust Christ as their Savior. Or that soul, that Christian, will make the decision for as me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Maybe that one that believes that they need to get involved with the church and get baptized needs to come forward and present themselves as candidates for the next baptismal service. Maybe there's someone here that God's calling to full-time service and they need to make it public to encourage the people of the church as well as kind of put a little target on them, knowing that they have made a decision to follow the Lord and how He leads them. Maybe there's someone here in sin that needs to get out. They are not willing to come out from among them and be separate. They claim to love Jesus, maybe. Maybe they don't even do that. But maybe this is the day that they fall in love with the Lord. Bless this invitation time, please, Lord. In Christ's name we pray.